This is Ezra and Elliot.
You're listening to the Family Matters Football Fantasy Podcast.
And now, your Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast with your league commissioners, David, Jonathan, and Stuart.
Welcome to the show. Our two biggest fans.
Gosh,
had to speak up because
best intro of the year for sure with that one.
That was amazing.
They are not used to their dad getting the spankings, and this last week it was rough. So I thought we should cheer him up with his sons doing the intro. What'd you think of that, David?
Listen, it was actually a little bit more fun to lose so bad. I'm gonna be honest. It kind of sucks being in close matchups and then losing like the last minute. Just knowing you have no chance, like, you know, at 12:05 on Sunday it was kind of a lot of fun. And so, you know, I had a lot of self-deprecating humor.
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah, no, like, I mean,
you reminded me quickly when I was hanging my lip. You're like, will you just look at what's happening to me? Because I was upset about Jamar Chase and some other things. And you're like, shut up. I'm playing against what's his face from the Packers, Adams. And yeah, you're just getting run by him, which was the same game. But I was like, I was more mad because I was supposed to win and nothing. Sleepers just jacked up. They suck at projecting. Yeah. I put no weight in that anymore. I was telling Stuart before we jumped on, I think at one point I was projected to have like 166 points and Lewis was like at 118 and it completely flipped. He beat me by 50 and it was not even close.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even the ESPN projections were bad. I mean, I was in the championship game, I was at 99% odds to win and I lost. So all these 99 percenters, I don't want to hear it because that was the championship.
Yeah, seriously.
It was like I was up like 35 and the first quarter's over. Stephon Diggs hasn't put up 40 points all year and he goes for like 49 million. I mean, so yeah, I mean, it is fun to kind of see that, but yeah, don't put stock in it.
Hey, you know, we were 0-3 as a podcast last week. Stuart, how was vacation? Are you going to take fantasy more seriously now that you're back?
Yeah, now that I'm back, I need to take things a little bit more serious. But I was going to bring up that David lost by 155 points. 155. So, like, that would be like someone scoring 155 points and David scoring zero. Like, that is the margin with which David lost. That has to be a record, right? That has to be a record.
Yeah.
Well,
no. No, it's not.
It's not?
It is and it isn't. The reason I'm going to say it's not is because you have two-week Cal Suit Championship
matchups
that are over 200, so I won't claim it.
You're spending way too much time in court lately. Listen, the truth of the matter is, on a weekly basis, you got smashed.
That is unbelievable. 155-point loss.
Triple
tsunami.
Oh, yeah, it's three tsunamis. I mean, you might
That's
as well.
That's why I was playing so many.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys listened all the way through on the last podcast, but I played about 12 tsunami drops because I thought I was going to tsunami Lewis, which turned out the other way around.
Yeah.
And then David, of course.
The ironic, I mean, it's definitely one of the lowest scores of all time. It ranks right up there with my dad when Lev Bell specifically outscored his whole team. So it's not, you know, it's not as bad as that because that was in the playoffs too.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
But there were a couple of players like Tom Brady, Justin Herbert, who almost outscored my entire team by themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, there were some crazy high scores this week. It was an anomaly, and then to see a crazy low score in the same week was just mind-boggling. I mean, every one of my players was below their season average.
Yeah,
every single one.
It's jarring to look at your score after a while. I kept thinking like, surely he just doesn't have guys playing yet, and I was like, nope, they just played so bad.
Well, then they started getting hurt, and then it was just kind of funny because it was already over at that point. And it's like, oh, I'm not even going to get to 70.
Well, listen, Let it be known, let it be written, do not invest heavily in the New York Giants offense. Anyone who had one of their players, I mean, who had Kadarius Coney?
Oh, yeah, it was a good matchup. I was playing this. I needed a swing for upside against Ryan, and I was hoping a stack touchdown. And then Galladay obviously gets smashed, is out. Daniel Jones gets concussed. And it just wasn't my week. I will say, if I'm going to do a 60-point week, I'm glad I did it against Ryan, because that was probably a loss anyway.
Yeah.
But it kind of sums up my team. I was telling Jonathan even before the week started that my team is really boom bust, and I kind of constructed it that way just because I don't have the consistent floor of someone like, you know, Ryan's team or even Stewart's team. You know, and that's evident. I had 195 point score in 1 week earlier this year. and so it's like that's my range is between 60 and 195 right
yeah.
now. Pretty that's big.
Weird. That's weird to think that you scored 195 coming off of last week. It's very odd. Yeah.
So I do. I agree. I think last week with three teams with over 200 points, another team with 195. I mean, they were huge numbers. And part of that goes to David, what you were talking about. Justin Herbert had 58.2 points. Lamar Jackson, 56.3, Tom Brady, 55.8, Josh Allen, 49.6. So, I mean, those are four quarterbacks with Josh Allen had 49.6, but 50 or more. The running backs were huge. Who was the number one running back last week? Do you know? Most points?
It's got to be Derrick
Henry. It wasn't Derrick Henry. He was Chubb. Number two.
Nick Chubb.
Chubb was number three.
Oh, Eckler.
Eckler was number four.
Unreal. You had two of the top four?
Jonathan Taylor.
Oh,
37.9.
Yeah.
Number one wide receiver last week?
Hollywood.
No, he was four. Mike Williams.
Mike Williams, Davante Adams.
Yeah, Mike Williams had almost 40, 39.5. Davante had 37.1.
Jamar Chase.
Tight end. Jamar Chase was
fifth,
30.9. Mike Evans. Hey, speaking of water bets, Mike Evans, 29.3 last week. He's number 11 wide receiver going into this week, which I don't think he's having a great game.
Yeah, he's struggling tonight a little bit.
And then our tight ends, Mark Andrews last week had 39.2. So a lot
That was against me. That was awesome.
A lot of huge scores.
Ryan's whole team had their best week. I mean, every single player. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my dad drew the short straw, scoring 170 and losing. And he's had a couple games like that. We talked about it on the last podcast. I can't wait to see the revised big board come out with the advanced analytics on scoring for Pride team, because I think it'd be interesting to see some of these records. Like, for instance, I'm 2-3. I think I should actually be lower. I've gotten lucky on a couple of weeks. So, dad's 1-4. My dad should have a winning record, I think, but he's just had a really rough schedule.
Yeah.
But yeah, last week, it there was only one close matchup. The rest were, is it 30 plus? Which is funny, considering Joey was losing by, I think, 20 or so, maybe more, going into the Monday Night Football game, and he ended up winning by 37 just because Lamar put up 56.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was a crazy week. Yeah, the only close one was Senior and Bryce.
Senior and Bryce, which came down to – well, it technically was over. It was over after the Sunday night game, but it was within a stat correction or two, so he needed a little something from Latavius. And
I mean, Josh Allen had 49 points last week.
Yeah, I know.
Four quarterbacks over 49 points.
I know Josh Allen did. He's good. I had to watch him torch me.
Goodness. It was rough.
You know what? To be fair, like, once Lewis passed me by about 10 points, I was in the same boat as you. I was like, I have nobody else that's going to play, so I don't care anymore. I just, every time Josh Allen threw a bomb, I was like, who cares? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I lost. This isn't like agonizing anymore. It just, whatever.
I think I was probably most surprised with Daniel scoring 200 just because I think he's had a few really bad weeks too, which kind of speaks to what David, what you were talking about, where you would have, you know, 195 and then have 61, right? I mean, I think Daniel has had a few bad weeks in there too.
There's a big caveat there. The difference being that Daniel hasn't had the same roster any week of the year.
Yeah.
I think Daniel's traded half his team every week. This will probably be the one week he hasn't because he scored 200, but
Daniel's probably had a top three projected team every week too, though.
Right.
And he's just underperformed as well. I think this is maybe similar. Ryan's similar to Daniel, actually. And I would say Ryan's really underperformed on the year relative to projections, with the exception of this past week for both of them, where they both went over 200.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's,
I don't think there's much different on the season between the two of them in that that regard specifically.
I think the speaking of that, when we get into power rankings, you'll see. I think we're all kind of the picture is becoming clearer on where people stand, and it's we all have pretty similar rankings. So I think we're starting to see things clear up a little bit on that front.
It's kind of sad. My 208 in weeks. Week two, it's kind of just
where does it stand on the good. Yeah, it's not as impressive when you're the third or fourth highest score on the season, is it?
I know. Yeah, well, I think I've got to be the fifth, right? Or maybe the no, yeah, fifth.
Yeah, because Senior passed you up before this week. Yeah. Man,
very, very, very humbling. Very humbling.
It is humbling, but you still did it, right? It's kind of like winning the first two championships. It still happened, and you can't take it away from them.
That's right.
So don't bring up it's in the past. It still happened, okay?
Yeah.
Well, what I do want to talk a couple of things football related before we get into some of our staples with bonehead benching, power rankings, and so forth. David, do you want to talk about the Packers Bengals game, the ending to that?
Yes, that was
Stewart didn't get to see really any football this weekend except for the Aggie game, which he'll talk about later.
Yeah.
But you and I were watching that Bengals Packers game, that finish. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that before.
I watched maybe 15 minutes of football this weekend, and it was the 15 minutes of that game, specifically in the fourth quarter when it was tied 22-22, I believe. And the kickers missed five field goals to win the game. And they all happened within like 2 minutes left of the end of regulation. And it's like bad misses too. It hits the post, it hooks. They look like they're going in only to like curve last minute, like it was a curveball. It was very entertaining, actually.
And it was because they kept sending them out there, and we kept going, okay, surely they're not going to miss again. Like, they're at the 30-yard line. This is a makeable field goal. Like, it was insane to see it. And then when the Bengals kicker kicked it and thought he made it, him and the placeholder were celebrating, and everyone else was not.
Yeah, like, that's right.
You missed it, dude.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. Yeah, there was five. I don't think I've ever seen five missed field goals in a row, much less a span of, right. I don't know, it was like 5 minutes of like actual game time.
And that's the other thing that went crazy was that game was so compelling because of that. And you're sitting there on the edge of your seat saying, are they going to kick again? And they freaking cut it to go to the Cowboys warm-up. They did. Like, the Cowboys weren't even kicking off yet. They were showing like pregame.
America's team.
Like, Jerry Jones has such a grip on the NFL that it's like, no, we have them throwing warm-up passes. We need to show this instead of this game that was going back and forth with the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen with so many kicks being missed. So there's a lot of people complaining about that.
I don't think I actually realized that Mason Crosby actually hit the field goal to win it.
Right. So we never saw it.
Yeah, he hit a 49-yarder after three misses.
Here's one of the headlines from a few days ago. Evan McPherson had a weird feeling when he realized OT field goal was no good.
Is that the that's the rookie kicker for the Bengals?
Yeah. Yeah. And weird feeling is in quotation marks.
A weird feeling.
Yeah. I bet it was weird.
Yeah.
Maybe you should watch to make sure that thing goes through before you start celebrating.
But to David's point, like, all of them look like they were tracking down the middle almost, and they would just veer off at the last second.
I think three of them hit the uprights.
Yeah. It was intense.
And they hit, like, just on the outside where it bounced the other way.
Yeah. It almost looked like they were doing it on purpose after a while. You're like, this can't be real.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so bad that Katie and their mom and the kid, like, they were all like, they missed another field goal? Like, they're not even watching the game, and they're in the other room, and they're reacting to us laughing out loud that they, I can't believe we missed another one.
We were literally standing up, like, running around the room, like, yeah. What was going on? It was a very fun game to watch, actually.
Oh, man.
But, you know, they cut out to the Cowboys game, you know, America's team, and, you know, America's team is looking good, guys.
How do you feel, Prescott?
I owe you an apology. I'm sorry.
There we go. I've been fishing for that for a few podcasts now.
I've
been waiting.
I
oh, pull the rug out from underneath me.
No, Dak's been good. I mean, obviously the Cowboys are a completely different team with Dak. It's evident from last year to this year. And, you know, I thought Zeke looked good. He's gotten more in rhythm the past, you know, couple of weeks here. I know Ryan's excited about that, but yeah, I mean, the Cowboys 4-1. How do y'all feel about the Cowboys?
So we talked about it either on the last podcast or two. Stuart was, I can't remember if you were on it or not. So that'll tell us. Did we talk about potential playoff teams in the NFC and what y'all would think, what you would think? Because we did talk about it on one of them.
I think that was last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So I threw in there my pick. I can't remember the other guys, but my picks were the Cowboys, Bucks, Rams, and I think I said Cardinals as well. Kind of, I could see them being the final four teams in the NFC if all things shake out.
That's right. And you forgot the Packers.
And I said no to the Packers, and I kind of still stand by that. Although I could see the Packers easily beating the Cardinals for some reason, just from experience, but. I guess my point would be, it's funny to say that about the Cowboys, and then I honestly think that the Cowboys could go to the Super Bowl with this kind of team that they have. I don't know if it depends on the matchup. I don't know if they need to be able to run the ball because they couldn't do it against the Bucks. I don't know if they couldn't or wouldn't. Do y'all think the Cowboys, because we didn't get to ask you guys, do you think the Cowboys could make it through a gauntlet like that?
Yeah.
Or do you?
I've talked to you about this, Jonathan. I would include the Packers are 4-1. You know, obviously if they can get a field goal kicker who can make kicks, that's good. But you know, but they're 4-1 and the Cowboys are as well. And I like both of those teams for the specific reason that they can both run and pass. You know, you look at the Cardinals don't have a run game. They're relying on Kyler. I mean, Kyler is part of the run game, right? Right. But it's not an established.
That's different.
You
know, yeah.
Yeah, you can't win. The Cowboys, I think, can win on the ground, and I think the Cowboys can win through the air. I think the Packers are the exact same. I don't know if I feel as if the Cardinals can win on the ground. And
what about the Rams, though?
See, I would probably put the Rams similar to the Cardinals. Probably a little bit better on the ground. And so, you know – you know, when defenses in the playoffs start queuing against you, specifically where you become one-sided, I just think you're limited in your ability to win. And someone like the Cowboys, specifically, and the Packers, in my opinion, you know, they present more of an issue for defensive coordinators because they can do both. And they've got stud, you know, Aaron Jones and obviously Ezekiel Elliott, you know, are superstars. And so –
it's funny because you're just talking about the offensive side of the ball, which obviously we talk about fantasy and usually focus on that, but Cowboys defense is pretty stinking good this year, and a lot of that's takeaway driven. But, man, having someone like Diggs and Parsons on that defense, and then DeMarcus Lawrence hasn't even been playing, I really think the Cowboys have a nucleus on defense that can be legit for years. That's why I kind of think I believe in them doing it as well, not because they're just so dynamic on offense. I think they're a really good overall team. And I don't think I've said that about a Cowboys team for a long time. It's been, I mean, it's crazy to see how much they've transformed in a year. So I think the Bucks are, the Bucks probably still have to be the favorite, in my opinion. I think that you never rule out Tom Brady. I think the defense for the Bucks is still so good, as we're watching here tonight as they're dismantling the Eagles. But
yeah. Is Diggs, is he a rookie?
Second year.
He's
second year
out of Alabama.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was,
and the Cowboys drafted him.
Yes, and he was a receiver, going into college, I think, and Saban convinced him to go DB.
Oh wow!
So he's got, that's why he's got such good ball skills. Like he's just, I mean, he's just like his brother, Stephon.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Cowboys are an opportunistic defense. They have the bend but don't break, classic cliche.
Right.
You know, as far as if we were to look at the defensive side of the ball, for that reason, they're probably up there. You know, the Rams are number one within that contender group we're talking about.
Yep.
And then I think it's, you know, there's an argument to be made that you could put the Cowboys at two.
Right.
You know, Tampa Bay maybe is there too, but like, I think, you know, there's kind of a tier between those two. And so that's why the Cowboys, you know, I'm feeling good about them this year for, you know, that kind of combination.
I'm rooting for Dak. I really want him to get at least far in the playoffs. I don't want him to get bounced early. I think he's worth every penny that they paid him, in relative to where the pay scale's going for QBs. And I think that he's a good leader. I think he's a good guy. I think the team is on the defense again. It's night and day. It's stupid. They were the worst historically the worst defense last year, and this year they're leading the league in takeaways. So it's just,
yeah,
it's flipped on its head.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're I think they're contenders for sure, and I could see them being going further than they've gone in the last 25 years.
I mean, Trevon Diggs has 6 interceptions on the season through, what, 5 weeks? The next closest on the season is 3.
How many does Anthony Brown have? Does he have 2?
There's only 3 people that have 3, and he's not one of them.
Okay. I think he's got more than 1. I know he had 1 last week. Not Hurts. Okay, there we go. Podcasting on a Thursday night is problematic. I thought I didn't have to worry about anything, and then David goes and trades for Jalen Hurts against me. And I was telling Stuart before you jumped on, David, Hurts is – he has not been playing good, but he's the perfect quintessential fantasy quarterback that doesn't matter. He's got so much garbage time, and he makes up so much yardage with his feet.
He's got 4 points. He had 60 yards passing through some point in the third quarter, and he had like 16 points still. It's fantasy quarterback scoring is stupid. If the purpose of scoring is to correlate between how good they actually are,
right?
That's not, you know, I wouldn't put him as a top quarterback, but he can run.
This is my argument for why we need to have.
We should get rid of quarterbacks. No. Actually, I take it back. We should do dual quarterbacks. Super flex.
Shift it the other way.
You just count their running yards, and one quarterback that you just count their passing yards.
Ooh.
Yes. It's a good idea.
Yeah.
Send it to Sleeper. Put it on the board. There were 2 quick things I wanted to talk about.
Please.
One.
Let's move on.
One was the which this maybe is too serious of a topic to talk about on the podcast, but the Grudem-less Raiders.
Oh yes, sorry.
It's crazy.
Jalen Hurts just walked in another touchdown. This is so dumb. He's played so bad. They are back in the game, but he's been playing so bad. John Gruden, what do you want to talk about with him? I've got a lot to say, and like you said, I don't know if it's the place for this discussion, but
yeah, I know.
I
don't know. I was surprised by it, but
okay. We can all agree.
Let's talk about it.
We can all agree that I don't even know exactly what he said, but if he truly said something that was racist, homophobic, whatever, that's stupid, and he should feel embarrassed and apologize for that. I also think it's stupid to look at someone who wrote an email 10 years ago, pull that out, and say you should be fired for this. I think both of those things are true. And it's just, I know we talked about it on Sleeper, so this is kind of reiterating what we already discussed, but I'm so glad I didn't have Twitter. I don't have Twitter, but I'm so glad I didn't have Twitter or anything like that around when I was in middle school or high school, or even my early college years. I would have said, I said a lot of dumb things.
Yeah.
And when did we decide that you're not allowed to make a mistake, A, and then B, also learn from it and grow from it? I don't know where that ideology's come from. It drives me crazy. And I'm not defending what he said. I'm more upset about the process in which we decide to persecute people for things. It's just ridiculous. It's like people have never... you know what soundbite I need to pull is from Dumb and Dumber, where he says, "Sorry, Mr. Perfect! I know you didn't ever make a mistake." Like, that's how it feels. You're just like...
Yeah, right.
Anyway, that's my soapbox moment. I'll let you guys talk about it too.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't, it's like, I struggle with this whole idea because like let's take the 1970s. There were certain terms that you could use in the 70s that today are just considered completely inappropriate, right?
Right.
But in the 70s, it wasn't necessarily, or didn't have the tone, and maybe we just didn't understand the context of how it offended people.
Sure.
And like 2010, I think was, you know, specific to probably some of the things he said. I don't want to say it was more appropriate because it's not, right?
Right.
But there's also context to the times as well. And to your point, people do change. I feel like there has to be like a statute of limitations on this. It's like, you know, if you do something
right,
and you don't get charged for 30 years, then it's like, you know, you're a different person, you know? And so
culture moves so fast. And you've got someone, how old is John Gruden? 60? Late 50s?
Yeah, I would say 50s.
Somewhere in there, right? Like, do you think that someone that age is going to move at the speed and pace that the younger culture is going to move in the way that they think, you know, just offensive talk and all those things move? Like, that stuff moves on a daily basis. I learn things on my own at my age that I'm like, oh, you can't say that anymore? And can you imagine someone like him who's buried in football, lived in that culture? And here's the other rich thing. You're telling me that everyone in that locker room, across all locker rooms, hasn't said something just as offensive? He just put it in an email. So what's the difference? What's the difference? It's just...
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, the hypocrisy of it all. And it's the same people that come out like, I can't believe you would say this. And it's like, dude, I promise you, you've said something worse than that, what he put in that email. But
yeah. And I think that's kind of the thing that, again, I'm not defending anything that he said. Or,
right. I don't even know what he said, to be quite frank.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. But I do, I think the 11 years ago or 10 years ago, however long, obviously that to me makes a huge difference, because I do think people change. And I think what some people are doing with all of this cancel culture stuff is just, you know, well, if you were ever a racist, then you're still, you know, once a racist, always a racist,
right?
Or once a bigot, always a bigot, or whatever.
Right.
Which I think is sad, but I also, it's just kind of one of those things that, like, if these league or these team owners or these coaches or anything like that, if they were their private emails and things that they said in emails or text messages somehow got broadcast to the world, mm-hmm. like, no one would have a job.
Right.
I mean, kind
that's,
of to your
that's
point.
That's my point.
In a
world before technology, people probably got away with this a lot. They definitely got away with this a lot easier. You had conversations that were never recorded, and never documented. And now people think that, and that's the problem with the internet. It's the problem with digital copies of things. They don't go away.
Yeah.
And so it's talk about a serious subject, but it's, this is what has caused a lot of like sadness and depression among kids growing up in this era, because they realize that they're being scrutinized over every little thing that they do or say, and yet they want to participate in society, and they know that everything, like, it's almost like there is no, again, if it's a worldly view and you don't have a kind of a biblical take on the world, it would be depressing, because you'd be like, what's the point? Like,
yeah, no,
I'm
yeah.
going to, like, I'm going to fail, like, at some point. Right. And everyone's going to just destroy me for it. So anyway, yeah. That's kind of a dark subject.
Pretty serious right. for the Family Matters Fantasy Football Podcast. But
it's okay. We let it off with two twin little boys. So it really just makes a whole lot of sense to talk about this. But yeah, I mean, it's just annoying that it bleeds into sports, because, I mean, we get enough politics all over everywhere else. And then you get it yeah. just in that. And you're just like, can we just not for 5 minutes? Can we be cool? It'd be great. Yeah.
Seriously. The other thing I wanted to bring up just real quick, we don't have to talk about it for long, but I don't know if you watched the A&M game, but it was awesome. And I will say this, and Mike can give me a hard time for this, not being a faithful Aggie, but I was certain that we were going to lose.
100%.
Oh,
I mean,
I would have bet money on it. I would have bet money on it. If we were in Vegas, I would have bet against the Aggies.
You could just see the way the second half had gone. And I'm just like, we are totally going to give this away. There's not a chance with our quarterback situation. There's not a chance.
Right.
That guy, he's going to crack
the Aggie offense has been horrible this season. Right.
And for him to come down, lead a drive to tie the game, and then to come down again and lead a drive to win the game. I mean, shocking. I mean, not even just, I would just say it's shocking because of the Aggie offense and the quarterback, not even the fact that they were playing Alabama. I mean, that made it even more shocking, but.
That's funny you say that about Mike. I heard Janelle's story about Mike and the game and his thoughts before the game, and I'll let Mike share that if he wants to, but it might or might not surprise you, Stuart. But yeah, I told Mike, because I watched the end of the game or the second half, and I'd been following in the first half on my phone. There were a lot of actually really good college football games that came down to like the last play. The Texas game was the UTSA game. The UTSA game came down to the last play at the goal line. Obviously, the A&M game was really good all the way to the finish. And there were other ones like that. And so it was just like a really good weekend for college football. But I was surprised. If you would have told me the Aggies were going to win, I would have thought it would have been like a 13-10 score.
Right.
Because the Aggies have a really good defense. And it was just so shocking that the offense showed up against that type of team and that type of like defense. And so it's like it's frustrating, because it's like, where has that been all year? And so, I would have never guessed the Aggies would be 4-2 with the win against Alabama. Like I would have said one of those is a loss. And so,
and a loss to Mississippi State.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's college football for you. But what's crazy is the stat that was the first assistant coach to actually beat Nick Saban in a head-to-head matchup.
I know.
He's like what? I guess he's now 1-27 or 27-1 against former staff.
Yeah.
And that was the one win. Is that was,
I thought it was more than that, but
it might be more. I don't remember the exact
number. I don't care. 1-27 is insane. That's nuts. I don't know what the number is, but that is dominance. And you think that just sheer numbers and out of luck somebody would have beat him, right?
Yeah.
The fact that nobody has, And it's not a fluke. I mean, Jimbo's won a national title, so it's definitely.
He might lose two to his coaches this year with Kirby Smart over there.
Yeah, Georgia's no joke.
Yeah.
No joke.
So they fell. Anyway. So we'll see.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
we went fishing last weekend. Didn't catch fish. But I was so, so tired by the end of that day. I think I went to bed at the halftime of the Aggie game. And the Aggie, I was shocked because at that point, the Aggies were, I think they were up 2 scores or something.
They were,
and,
yeah.
And they were looking like really good. And I think I woke up to about 25 text messages from my family texts. They were all watching, going nuts. And that, I didn't even have to check my text. I just was like, the Aggies won. I know that they won. They wouldn't have texted that much if they lost. So, yeah, good game for the Aggies. The Longhorn game was funny to watch because they should have. That's what a weekend for the Aggies. Let's just put it that way. The Longhorns should not have lost that game, but whatever. That's, they've got no defense.
Yeah.
ETSA won again.
They're pretty good this year, aren't they?
We might get ranked.
I think they're like 29th or something if you look at actual votes.
We need a petition for them to start ranking the top 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like every season before 2012, we were undefeated. That was my favorite shirt. My favorite UTSA shirt.
I'm undefeated.
UTSA football, still undefeated.
Hey, speaking of cancel culture, did you see they took away the come and take it slogan?
What?
Yeah.
I heard that.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
Earlier this year. It's no longer acceptable to say come and take it.
Oh, well, they can come and take it then. We had that in our garage. It was like a huge Katy.
You're such a racist.
Yeah, no. I saw that in your old garage. I was so offended. I'm like, how could someone put this on their wall?
Yeah, it's so basically racist. It's basically a lynching, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Golly, these people need. Anyway, you know what? That sounds like a real bonehead thing to say. So let's move into the bonehead benchings.
Bonehead benching of the week.
It's what we call a segue. Segway. Well, we had a couple of boneheads. It was tough to kind of nail down a few of these because the scores were so insane. I think when Sleeper came out with their report, I think my dad had like, was it like 97 or 98% of his score, like optimized lineup in, and he won best manager, but he still lost. So I think there was a lot of like good decision making made by pretty much everybody, but there were a few to note. We'll start with Miles Gaskin on the bench, which is, I think, the first time he had been benched on the season. And of course, you know, once you do that, he's going to go off. So he scored 27.4 for the Dolphins and started over him, which wasn't a bad play. Zach Moss. Zach Moss was going against the Chiefs, and it was supposed to be a high-scoring affair, and the Bills really did a number. But he only scored 11.8. Not actually, I mean, 11.8 is a really, I mean, it's a decent score, so it's not a bad decision. But again, having a nitpick here, wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah, I liked through him too, and I mean, it was hard. There weren't.
You can just give it to my team.
That's a great suggestion. Let's hold on to that. We might consider it.
I know y'all didn't propose that, but I propose it.
See, this is why I had
it's
Esmond
not so
Elliott
much a bonehead
intro
benching.
Things.
Your whole team was just bad. So there's
it's
really
a bonehead team. Team award.
A bonehead team.
All right, I'll work on the new drop. I think I know where we should go with this. I'm gonna skip down to Damian Harris. Was started or was not started, because why would you start Damian Harris over Saquon Barkley? Well, you would
Saquon Barkley gets injured.
You wouldn't unless you knew that his ankle was going to blow up to 4 times its size. So Damian Harris scored 10.2, Saquon scored 1.1, and that probably, as Bryce pointed out in the chat, cost him his victory. I mean, it definitely did if he would have switched, but I mean, you don't know if Barkley would have played. He would have probably covered that. And then, of course, our weekly occurrence of a manager. I don't even know why we even talk about it at this point. But my dear brother, Joey Searles, decided that I don't need to check my lineup ever. I'll just
you know
check.
What? I shouldn't win.
Yeah. See? This is this. We talked about this. Who cares about checking your lineup before Thursday night? We check on Sundays. Well, that's a problem when the running back you just traded for gets ruled out with plenty of time for you to swap him out for anybody else, including Michael Carter, who scored 14.8 points on your bench. Didn't matter. Joey won either way. But I think that's probably the decision. What do you guys say? I think that's the moo moo milk.
He's definitely deserving of it in my book.
Yeah, I take back my nomination. I don't nominate myself anymore. And it's Joey.
I think we may get a sweep. Sorry, Joey. You know what to do. Head on down to Lakeline HEB. They're familiar with you at this point. They might as well give you a badge. Grab yourself a milk and douse yourself.
Chocolate Moo Moo Milk, winner of the week.
Man, I think he's got the longest streak ever going.
Yeah, yeah. How long it may go all season.
Yeah, I think we can make this happen.
I don't think we need to make anything happen. I think it's just happening. It's becoming too easy. Man. That's what you get for trading Christian McCaffrey. We're just going
to
keep.
Hey, I want to go back to my comment when that happened. And I said, Chris Carson isn't exactly a shining beacon of health himself.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
I feel like I was somewhat mocked by someone like Bri saying, oh, he's great. But you know what? He wasn't this past week. So take that.
Listen, the argument for Carson being good when healthy is fine. But the when healthy part is still important to note.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yep.
I just wanted to give Bryce a hard time.
Well, please, more of that. I like it when Bryce gets mad. He makes water bets. All right, let's move into the power rankings.
Power rankings.
So once again, we don't have a spreadsheet and a show doc for where we're at with cumulative rankings or picks of the week, which is fine. We're busy. David's settling lawsuits left and right. Stewart's jet setting across the country. I'm not doing much. But
yeah, what are you doing?
I'm just running the podcast, so back off. I'm working a second job to pay for my podcast equipment that I bought just for the league.
Hey, aren't League Dues supposed to come out of that? You know, isn't this a budget? This is a business we're running here.
I don't even know. This is on me, but I need to go back and see who paid for what for this season.
Yeah, you still owe me $30, so whatever.
See, I owe you money. I owe Mike money.
We could just – we'll do an escrow account for me.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to start charging interest if I'm tracking that. So last week – since we did this similarly, what we did was we picked one of our rankings, went down it, and then saw where we differed. So since Stuart, since you sent your power rankings in first, why don't you walk us through top to bottom your rankings, and we'll tell you where we have that particular person.
Okay.
Who's number one?
Number one, I have Ryan. Ryan Palomo.
Ooh.
I concur. I have Ryan at number one.
I don't.
Well,
I just feel like for obvious reasons, we've talked about him all year long, but with the add of McCaffrey, I mean, he's got a stacked team. And I think he felt like he made a few comments on the podcast last week, like I was somehow buttering him up or making him feel good about his team. I really do. I think he's got the best team. Not to say he's going to win at all, but I think he's got the best team.
I think Ryan's got a little baseball in him, as you may have noted in the sleeper app, and he gets a little superstitious when people start saying good things about him. He kind of goes the other way.
yeah, but I'm not superstitious. I'm just a little
just stitious. A little stitious. Oh, you can quote The Office all the time. I will say Ryan's team. I don't think I've had him this high since week one. Part of it's been a performance issue. He has not hit, to your point, David, you said this earlier, he has not hit his projection. He has not lived up to the hype. And of course, this last week he did. So I think he's on the upswing, and I say move him to number one.
Yeah, that's the reason I have him number two is exactly that. Obviously, he's got a really good team. I actually have Stewart number one. And I think there's an argument to be made with trades that Stewart has made this week that his team is just as good as Ryan's. And so it's a debate, not making the statement necessarily yet. But Stewart scored more points on the year than Ryan. He's been more consistent than Ryan. He's done 200 points as well. His average score is higher. I think he's got the highest points for on the year in the league. And so they have the same record.
By a long shot, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it really is. You've had a much more difficult schedule than him too. That's why I think your record is the same as his. So you have the same record. I use points for kind of as the tiebreaker. And I think those teams are really comparable. I really like the moves that Stewart made this week, and I'm kind of factoring that in as well.
Sorry, I'm just distracted. Well, thank you. Because I just saw stupid Jalen Hurts ended up with 27 points. So dumb. He had like 7 points going into the third quarter.
He only had 100 something yards passing.
Yeah, he scores everything with his feet. It's so stupid. Okay, so you've got Stewart at two. I've got Stewart.
He has me at one.
Excuse me. You have Stewart at one. I have Stewart at four. And Stewart, you have yourself at three. Is that correct?
That's correct. Which I, for some reason, I mean, I kind of did this quickly. I have Bryce number two.
Yeah, that's bad.
I'm not really sure why I have Bryce number two.
That's bad.
I think you did it so you could just laugh when you said it.
Maybe so. I have no idea why I did that, but
yeah, I've got Bryce five.
I still like Bryce's team, but I don't think he's number two.
Yeah, I've got,
but that's where I put him. So that's
I've got Bryce one spot below you at five. I made the mistake of ranking Bryce really high, and then
so who do you have at two, Jonathan?
Sorry, I've got your dad. I've got Senior. I stand by. I think his floor is higher than I probably gave him credit for. It's interesting that he's got so many Chiefs, but if you're going to do that with a team, it's the Chiefs, right? Clyde Edwards did get hurt, which I feel really lucky to have avoided that. So we'll see how that pans out, but Fournette had a good game. And of course, he's got. Anytime you got Hill and Mahomes, you've got a shot, and he keeps winning. So, I've got him at two.
What do you guys have? His team with Fournette kind of separating himself and becoming the guy on that offense. I mean, 29 points today.
Yeah,
That's his third running back when CEH is healthy.
That sucks.
Oh yeah, you're going against him.
Where'd Fournette come from? Hello.
LSU.
Why do you think my dad likes
it? Yeah.
I know.
My dad during pre-draft is like, oh, for sure it's going to be Leonard Fournette starter. No questions. And I was like, I don't know.
It works out for him. And he was like, see, I told you. You guys
turns
don't
out he's
listen.
Smarter than me.
Yeah, you guys just don't listen.
Joke's on me.
Joke's on me. All right, so you got – what do you
have? I have senior at three, by the way.
Okay. We're all three at him.
Do y'all? I kind of have a top three, and that's kind of a tier to me of Stewart, Ryan, and my dad. I don't know if y'all would agree with that tier or if you think it's different, but I think those three have separated themselves.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I have Stewart just one spot behind Staffel, partly to irritate Stewart, but also because Mike keeps winning. But that's fair. I don't know if I'd put if I think
I have Staffel at four, but
yeah, no, and I think if you put if you made me, I guess this is the best way to ask it. If you made me bet on winners, I would put like to someone to win the league. I think that Stewart, I would have better odds with Stewart than Staffel. So I think Staffel's playing better right now. So yeah, although my rec, I think I can agree with you, but also have my power rankings reflect a little differently on that, but I think you're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, he's second in points against, fewest points against. So, I mean, I think
Mike is,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's by 3 points. Yeah. Joey has the fewest points against, which is
sad. Sad, really.
That division specifically, the person with the most points against is Stewart. 826. I'm at second with 806, thanks to Ryan. For 826 for Stewart, for comparison's sake, Joey is at 666.
Oh, that's a bad omen.
And Mike's at 670. So, I mean, that's 150 points over 5 weeks.
How do I get in that division?
Hmm? Yeah.
Actually, I'm not far off. What is mine?
Well, I'm in that division, and I'm second most against.
How do I get that schedule is what I asked.
Mentally. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, I don't think I'm that far off either. I put Mike in that second tier. He's 4 for me. Obviously, he's 4-1. I wish I was 4-1, but I do think he's in a little – I think he's the next start of a next tier.
Yeah. He had a great week. You definitely have to give him credit for the week that he had. I mean, it was that – obviously the highest of the season, and I think the highest in several years. 222 points. Isn't that what he had?
Yeah, I think it's either the second or third highest score of all time. Which obviously he has the highest score at like 234, I think is what it is.
Okay. Yeah, somewhere in that ballpark. It's just over 230.
If you look at some of the benchings, I think Ryan could have been over that number. I think Mike could have been over that number. I think there were a couple of people that could have been over this past week.
Yeah. To go back to your question, David, I could see your dad. The only thing that is scary about your dad's team is just how invested he is in
Kansas City. Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of – because Mahomes, for the most part, is solid all the time, but he has had
his team reminds me of Mike Searle's team. I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years ago when they had Peyton Manning on it on the Broncos, and that team was just awesome in the regular season, and he had a very good record that year. I think he might have had the second or third best record, maybe the best, I can't remember. And it was one bad game in the playoffs and he was done, right? Yeah. And so you do kind of limit yourself, but you know, if you're placing bets on – if I'm placing a bet on an offense, I'm putting it on Kansas City.
Right.
I mean, I'm over here riding with the Eagles at quarterback. So
you just risk a sharp drop off if the Chiefs have a bad game, and that's like it's all in one game versus diversifying.
The reason I really like the Chiefs too is because their defense is so bad.
Right.
I mean, they're going to have to keep scoring points. I don't think they're going to be like the Rams or the Bucks where they can maybe kind of throttle you down on defense, like kind of dial it in. I don't think they can dial it in at all.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened to that defense. It's pretty rough.
Something interesting that I just looked at and I hadn't noticed, but do you know what Tyreek's rank is for wide receiver for the year?
Probably like 3.
Yeah. He's 3.
Oh,
he's week 1 he had 37.7 points, and then week 4 against Philadelphia he had that 46.1.
Yeah, I played against him that week. It was fun.
But the other 3 weeks, 4.5, 6.3, and 11.4.
So
which are well below his projections, right? So
it's I think I talked about this with David. I think the Chargers identified how you play the Chiefs. You play a soft shell, you bracket Tyreek, you limit the big plays, and you make them stay patient, and it's worked. I mean, the Bills have a better defense, and I think they showed that it works too. And I think it's frustrating Mahomes because they want to go home run, right, with Hill and like Mecole Hardman, and they're not able to do it because they just have 2 safeties sitting over the top. So it's the teams that do that are benefiting from that, and maybe they had the personnel to do it. Maybe that's part of the equation, but I think the ones that don't do that, Tyreek goes bonkers. They just
Tyreek's had a couple plays. He's had a hard schedule, like opposing defenses specifically, and to be number three through that, I know it's boom bust. I mean, he's good.
No, he's good.
I mean, that the boom bust of Tyreek and Mahomes is unstoppable.
Oh, my wife misled me there on the medical information. The one thing I thought I could go to her for on foot and football, but no. She still denies ever saying any of that, but I'm pretty sure it's on the record. It's fine.
What do y'all think about let's kind of move into that second tier. So I've got Staffel, Lewis, Daniel, Jonathan, and kind of, at least as I see it, that next tier, followed by Jackson, David, Mike Searles, and Joey, which, again, we were talking about Mike Searles' team. He should really be higher than that for sure. So I messed up there too.
Well, okay. I think it's fair to break it up into those tiers. I think Lewis has benefited from a soft schedule.
But then he had 195 last week too. So
right. I think he's got, we talked about this on, it might've been the last podcast. We were talking about how he's got some guys that Jamar Chase did not think he was as good as he is, at least from a fantasy perspective. I mean, he's making big plays happen left and right. Josh Allen might be the MVP on the season. And real football. And he's actually just putting up crazy numbers in fantasy. And then of course, I predicted it. I said, watch Nick Chubb drop 30 on me, because he just does that. He's a really good running back. So I think Lewis has a lot of good players that get overlooked because they're not always – probably not one of those guys will finish number one of their position, even though they have the capability of doing it. But I don't think any of them will. But I think that in my mind kind of discards his team a little bit compared to, like, you got Mahomes and Hill and you got Henry and Eckler and Kyler, right? So, like, some of these teams look like they have higher upside potential, but Lewis is right there if you look at his team as far as how they're performing. And so I think he's benefited a little bit from soft schedule, but then, yeah, he dropped 195, so it's not like he's, like, sneaking by either. He's playing.
No, that's right.
Daniel's the wild card. Daniel's the guy that I think – like I said, I mean, his team does look a lot better this last week. He's probably better than me. And I'd say the week before I was better than him. And I thought it was pretty obvious I was better than him, but that's just my opinion. But now it's like, I think Herbert's that good. I think he's got just good players all around. So I'd see putting us in that kind of bracket bubble, or that tier, I should say, I think makes a whole lot of sense. And then Jackson's the one that was the big mover for me. With Russell Wilson getting hurt, I think that really hinders his team a lot. And so I think I could see Jackson. I would have put Jackson in the playoffs going week 2, 3, or 4. I would have said, yeah, he's going to make the playoffs. And now I'm like, I don't know if he will with Russ out.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's where I have him too. I have him at 9 out of the playoffs. Where do you have him, David?
I've got him at 9 as well. And I would agree with your tiers of I go Staffel 4, Bryce 5, Lewis 6, Jonathan, Daniel. And that's kind of the second tier. And then Jackson, David, Joey, Mike Searle is the last tier.
So David, you talked about your team a little bit as far as how you built it for boom bust. Did your trade this week amplify that, or was that a strategy that you were saying, hey, I need to make a move to be more stable?
Yeah, I mean, I've been looking to unload Jones actually for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks now. He's a superstar. It's frustrating to own him because he is one of the top, I would say top three most talented running backs in the league. Because the way he catches the ball, I had Kamara and Jones last year, and there were times where I was like, I think Jones is actually better than Kamara. Because you run, you look at some of the routes they'll run where they're throwing them back shoulder fades. I mean, like, he's a legit superstar. And it's so frustrating to own him because the Packers want to have a timeshare. They did it last year with Jamal Williams. They're doing it this year with A.J. Dillon, where they just, if they give him the ball, he's one of those guys. I mean, this past week, he had 11 carries and he had 103 yards. And it's like, he had a 56 yard run where he just like stiff arms a guy at the end of it. And it's like, why don't you give this guy the ball more?
Yeah.
And so I've seen this story. I've owned him for a couple of years. He's awesome. He is very boom bust. Aaron Jones is. I mean, he's had a 45 point week. I mean, he had a 4-touchdown game earlier in the year where I was just saying Mr. Jones all night. Right. And so he was part of that. But I worry a little bit about him moving forward. And as A.J. Dillon gets more involved, A.J. Dillon has looked okay. He's definitely not Aaron Jones. But I don't – Matt LaFleur, I think, is going to want – and this is what happened last year.
Yeah.
If he wants to keep Jones healthy going into the playoffs. And what that has looked like the past 2 years is his role actually diminishes starting like week 12 through 16 – where they start kind of saving him a little bit more. And like he only had 11 rushes this past week. He needs to see the ball more than that. I mean, his yards per carry on the year, he's broken tackles per rush attempt. He's got every single metric up there.
So Aaron Jones is the anti-Derrick Henry, where they're like, it's a better move for the real life Packers to save Aaron Jones for the playoffs, where the Titans run through Derrick Henry. Like, that is the offense.
Right. So I mean, Aaron Jones has been a top five back the past 2 years. I think he's number eight on the year this year. It's going to continue. He's awesome. And so part of it was a self-reflection of where I'm at in the league. Part of it was a dumpster fire after 60 points.
that's kind of where I was looking to
get rid of him. And honestly, I was trying to get some value in return. I sent out quite a few offers. And, you know, there wasn't really a huge market for him. I know other people were definitely interested, but I don't think they were willing to part with probably the same future capital that Stewart was. And so I was looking for really a keeper, someone at a keeper level, and then some type of pick.
Who'd you end up with?
It was Kittle and Jalen Hurts in a second round for Darnold and Jones. And so, you know, I'd thrown out other offers for keepers and picks that I was looking for that, you know, didn't work out. And so it was a realization and a concern of that. And so I needed a quarterback too. It's been my weak position all year. We've talked about it. You know, I've been streaming. And so, you know, to get an immediate starter to help out, he had 27 points tonight, which is good. You know, kind of it helps my floor a little bit. I think he can be boom bust too. And then Kittle, you know, whenever he gets back, I've got, you know, a keeper or potentially a trade asset, because I also have TJ Hawkinson. And so hopefully he can get it back to what he was doing at the beginning of the year. And so, you know, that's why I made the move. It was really kind of a realization that I don't know if I can boom 3 weeks in a row in the playoffs, because my floor definitely isn't there, you know, without a Stewart or Ryan or my dad.
Yeah.
And so it was somewhat of a hedge. I don't think it, you know, I get better at quarterback, you know, when Kittle comes back, I'm probably, you know, I'm better at tight end as well. And then to get some draft capital out of it, I thought it made some sense to go ahead and do it as much as it hurt me, because he is a really good player. So, I mean, Stewart got the best player in the deal for sure.
Yeah, that's fair. I still think Kittle's being undervalued in some sense. I'm not saying this transaction specifically,
because
he is injured. He's on the IR. I mean,
that was part of it. Is I know I'd heard Stewart's thoughts on Kittle, and I really do like Kittle.
I do too.
Prior to last year,
whatever. Whatever.
Prior to last year, he was doing 1,300 yards as tight end.
I never said I didn't like him. I just said that he was frustrating because I owned him last year and he was hurt so much of it, and so I didn't necessarily want him again.
So hold on a second.
I was honest with that.
So you're telling me you undervalued a guy because he was hurt all of last year, and so you probably maybe gave him up for less than he was valued for. Is that what you're kind of saying? Potentially.
I don't know if the value was similar.
No, I was trying to set you.
I was trying to set you up for a trap for Christian McCaffrey, but you didn't fall for it.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that's not really what I was saying.
Yeah, but... I know. I was hoping you kind of leaned into it. I would have been like, oh, so Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, so for Stuart, what I wanted to ask you is, you know, that trade was on the table a little bit. I think I countered with, you know, originally the trade didn't include Hurts, and I was like, can you throw in Hurts? And that was kind of what sealed it. And then I did think I did a final counter for like $6 fab or something.
Yeah, because while that was going on, you were wanting a first rounder.
Yeah, I wanted a first rounder. So I kind of sat on it. I kind of tested the market to see if I could get a keeper and a first from someone else. And no one was really – I couldn't even get a keeper and a second from other teams that I actually was looking at. Not that those are bad offers. It just didn't make sense for some owners with roster construction. But while that trade was open, I was thinking about it. I was sleeping on it. Were you working another trade with Joey during that time? Because you must have accepted them both back to back.
Yeah, Mr.
And would you have made that trade with Joey had I not accepted your offer, or you not accepted whatever it was with me?
Yeah, they were working at the same time, and I wasn't necessarily wanting to share that with the other person. Not for any particular reason. It was just like I didn't want that to possibly sway their decision on if you were gonna do the deal or not. So I waited until both of those deals were
agreed upon. Let me put this out there. I don't think that's wrong of you to do that, Stuart. I just think for me as a manager, I'm not going to allow another deal to sway my opinion. But that's not to say someone else doesn't. So you're not wrong to think that. But I'm just friendly. I'm just putting this out there in the league. If you're dealing with me, you're dealing with me. I don't care what anyone else is getting out of your deal with them. So I know that gets brought up a few times in trade talks. Like, well, wait, look what he's getting. I'm like, I don't care. That's not our deal.
I guess my question was, were you going to execute them independently, or was one contingent? Because I've had deals like that too, where, you know, you set it up. Obviously, you were getting rid of Kittle.
Yeah. Well, no. So when with your trade offer including Kittle, I even talked to Jonathan about this when they were trying to work in the five team trade, and I think you were Daniel one said, would you want Waller more than Kittle? And I said yes, but I think it was at that point you didn't want to try and bring in Joey.
we would have had to bring in Joey, made it a six team deal, because like Kareem Hunt was a key component for Daniel, so he wasn't going to get rid of my dad in that situation.
Yeah,
and bring it right. So I mean, yeah, that wouldn't have worked. But
so you know. I going back to last week, I'm half joking, but you know, I didn't love the trade that I made with Kittle for giving up Evans and Gordon, but I did it, and I was fine with it. So then when you came in offering Kittle, I was like, okay, I wonder if Joey. The way I pitched it to Joey, it helped that Dawson Knox had an awesome week last week. And so I just said, hey, would you be, I'd be interested in Waller or Dawson Knox, preferably Waller. And so that's kind of how those trade talks with Joey started. So that was after you and I were talking. I started bringing back up the conversation with Joey.
Yeah. It seems like initial feedback from the league is that you got really good value on that trade.
On the Waller trade?
Yeah. It seemed like a lot of people were willing to give Joey more.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was joking or serious.
Well, yeah, I don't know if that was joking either. I kind of feel like it was joking going back to the McCaffrey trade. I think the majority of the league would have given more than he got for McCaffrey. So it could be the same for Waller as well. But
So I think two weeks ago, if we would have said, Stuart, what if you could give up Mike Evans, Melvin Gordon, and what was the second round pick? The second trading.
Second and a
for Aaron Jones. For Aaron Jones and Darren Waller, would you have done it?
Yeah, oh, and, I think so.
Who you got? I mean, who cares? Sam Darnold.
I think the thing that helped, I didn't have as much heartburn about giving up a third rounder, is because it was your third rounder, Jonathan.
Right.
And so I was like, look, to be able to get Waller and Jones for essentially, as I saw it, which is maybe not how everyone sees it, but for essentially a second round pick next year, I'm like, heck yeah, I'm going to do that. That'll help my team this year. And I'm giving up Kittle and, you know, Evans and a few other guys, but it made sense for me. And so I was in no way trying to take advantage of Joey, but I'd been talking to him about Waller, I mean, for weeks. So it wasn't this out of the blue, I'm going to try and pull one over on him.
Hey, look, here's the deal.
It did help that Knox had a great game.
Joey's made it known that if you want to trade with him, he's willing to make a deal. So maybe approach Joey with some trade offers. He sounds like he's ready to make any deal work for you.
Kittle's on the trade block.
Yeah. Hey, Joey.
Yeah. I think it did help too, honestly, because he traded McCaffrey. So Joey was sold out that McCaffrey is going to be injured just like he was last year. It's not going to be good, which I tend to fall into that camp too. I think McCaffrey, there's a good chance that he is going to have that injury bug. I hope not the rest of his career, because he's still a young guy, but you never know. Once you start having these injuries, you could, they could kind of plague you the rest of your career. But so I think he, in some ways, he was doubling down on getting Chubba, right? I was like,
I saw that and I was like, this is two moves too late. This should have been the move you made first. Ugh, my brother. It's okay. He'll figure it out. He's a smart guy. Oh, guys, I don't know how long this podcast has been going, but we got to move it along. You have anything else to say about power rankings, or should we move into picks of the week?
Picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
All right, for matchup number one, we'll just go in the order that we have these kind of set. We've got two of our top three or top four, depending on your power rankings, teams with the Remember the Titans and Team Cupid Express. Still my favorite team name, Team Cupid Express. We've got early returns in for Leonard Fournette, as we've already discussed, crushing his projection and really tightening up this race. Godwin didn't have a great game, but Fournette made up for it, so he's okay. I think it would be considered an upset based off of y'all's rankings, but how I do think of Stewart's team overall. But I'm going to take senior in this one. I think there's going to be a revenge game for the Chiefs. They need to get back off. They need to get off the snide. They're going to take it to Washington and just smack them. So give me Team Cupid Express.
What a joke. I would say these sleeper projections are so good. I'm 70% chance of winning. So that's basically like 100% chance. this is going to be a close game. I've made some moves to get, as we just talked about, Waller, Aaron Jones, which is only going to make my team stronger. My weakest link right now is touchdown McThielen, and hopefully he can start scoring some touchdowns again to get me some points. But I'm a little worried just with the Fournette 30-point night tonight, but give me Remember the Tight Ends handily. My hand, the small I know. not yours, they are my own. My
hands. Yeah, I was hovering over Landslide when you said hand. Okay. You really threw me for a loop there. David, who you got?
I was just looking at Kyler and how he's been performing. And this is the last 4 weeks for Kyler. 45 points, 21, 28, 16.
Uh-oh.
How are you feeling about Kyler? He's kind of trending the wrong way.
I feel like he looks like Baby Yoda. Go ahead, Stuart. Your analysis.
We need to change his nickname from Hail Mary to Baby Yoda now.
Baby Yoda. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit concerning, but did you lose me? Are you there? Am I there? Okay.
Yeah, we're
It's a little bit concerning, but I think he's going to have a bounce back week, as he's got some type of shoulder thing, so he's listed as questionable, but I think he's going to play. And he's going against Cleveland, which I think is a good sign. So, and looks like there's some wind. So, those balls should go even further down the field. So I'm not too concerned.
Yeah. The update on your water bet is Dak Prescott has 135 points through the year and Kyler's at 152.
Boom. Thank you.
So you're on a way to the victory. Yeah. You know, I think this one's going to be closer than the projections say. I know Patrick Mahomes is projected for 30. And Tyreek's projected for 17.
Give me the overs.
Yeah, that's a good – Washington's a really good matchup. They're not – their defense is not nearly as good as last year. And then you combine that with, you know, Joe Mixon going against Detroit. Every time Aaron Jones goes against Detroit, he has like 400 points. So, you know, Joe Mixon, if he touches the ball 30 times like he could. And you combine that with Kyler. The thing about Kyler, Stewart, is they've been winning. You know, they're still undefeated, I think. And they're not as reliant on him in the past couple of wins. So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. But, you know, all that to say, I think you made some really, really good moves this week. I like your team a lot, and it's going to be hard to pick against you, and I'm not.
Yes.
It's unfortunate.
Smart man.
I just sent you guys a text. It was, I did not come up with that Baby Yoda thing. Chandler Jones is the one who said it first. It's pretty funny.
Oh, Chandler Jones. He's so awesome and so sucky at the same time.
Yeah, if he's playing against Ryan Tannehill, he's awesome.
He is like, he sums up my team perfectly. He had a 27-point week, week one.
Yep.
And since then, he's had 2 0-point weeks. He's like the epitome of my team.
Oh, gosh.
All right, well, let's move it into the next matchup here. We've got Jonathan playing the almighty, scary Terry Riss. I've had Jalen Hurts go already. This is his stat line, Jonathan. I want to read it to you.
Go ahead.
12 of 26 throwing the ball. So that's good, right?
Pretty good. A little less than 50%.
115 yards. And one touchdown and one interception. And then he had 10 carries for 44 yards and two touchdowns, which equals 27 points.
He had a 2-point conversion as well, I believe.
Oh, yes.
That was annoying.
Yeah.
But at that point, I was like, he had already scored his He just – around the – it reminds me of Cam Newton in a sense, where it's like he's – if you're within 5 yards of the end zone, he's going to get in. It's just
– Yeah, they ran the option with him, and he's so big. So obviously that went my way there. I don't have quite as many questionables as last week. I still have quite a few. I'm really hoping Chase Edmonds plays, because I actually don't have another running back.
Yeah, what's wrong with him? Shoulder.
Oh, his shoulder. Chandler Jones has COVID. Kenny Golladay, I don't know even know what happened to him.
Wait, you have Tyson Williams? When did you get him?
Joey dropped him.
I just picked him up.
Oh, man.
Oh, awesome. You know what? I might have to play him if Chase Edmonds is out. Trey Lance, he gets his, you know, he gets his chance to start. You know, things are looking good. He has 89 rush yards, 16 attempts. It's like, man, another one of these quarterbacks who just has to run the ball to score points. And then what happens? He gets hurt.
Yeah, you should have taken me on my trade when I was offering you the world for him.
I know. I still so believe bad. In him, though. And maybe I'm going to sink on that ship with him.
I don't think it's going to happen this year now. I take my statement back, but go ahead.
Yeah, you're probably right. So, you know, there's a lot going against me, and for that reason, I'm picking Jonathan to win in a triple play.
Triple play.
Unbelievable. I think this is just reverse psychology. I don't think you believe this, especially after Jalen Hurts did. This is just, I need to go back and look at how many players overachieve based off of sleepers projections against me, because it's, yeah. I look at it sometimes. I'm like,
last week and they all underachieved. So
good. So there'll be an overcorrection back to the mean. Yeah, I also am taking myself, but I'm way less confident. I'm not triple playing it.
Boo.
I think no, I'm not doing that. It's funny because I was thinking, I don't know where I don't know where any of us stand in picks of the week this year, because we haven't been keeping up with the spreadsheets. I was like, I need to try and maybe take it seriously, because I might be like way down there in our.
Yeah,
in our
you were actual... the worst. I'll update that for next week and come with an update.
Yeah, I need to like really.
Do I get Mike Staffel's picks, because I really don't want those?
Yeah, you get Staffel's picks because he was consistently replacing you on the last two podcasts, and then Ryan stepped in for Stewart on the last one. So.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, if I have to choose between Mike and Ryan, I won't tell you which one I pick.
All right, Stuart, what do you say on this matchup?
I think it's a little funny. I don't know if there's ever been someone who's triple played against themselves, but so that may be a first. But
yeah, this is reverse psychology. It's crap. Yeah.
This is like Ryan stuff here.
That is what Ryan does.
So yeah, Jalen Hurts had a great night. Well, he didn't have a great night, but he scored 27 points somehow. But I still think this is not going to be a real close matchup, and I see the Bash brothers running away with it, even though one of the brothers, I'm not too sure. I don't know what to think about AJ Brown. I mean, is he?
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I was going to make that comment. I didn't want to spend too much time on this matchup, but I will say, I think we do have a close projection. And so much is going to hinge on the Monday night game, because you have Julio going, and I've got AJ Brown going, and I've got Tannehill. So it could be.
It's against Buffalo, who's good against.
Really good against the pass. Number one.
Does AJ get the Tre'Davious White corner matchup?
I don't know. Maybe. But he's been, I don't know. Maybe, it depends.
Or does Julio get it?
I think whoever doesn't is going to get double teamed. Yeah. So it's not going to matter, really. It's kind of the same thing. It's really can Henry open it up? I don't know. I think the Bills defense is legit.
Over or under 30 touches for Henry this week.
Over. I'll always take the over.
Over under 7 touchdowns for Henry this week.
Always take the over.
Over. I'm gonna go 8. Eight, so give me Jonathan on that one, on that matchup. We then move into the Lasso special versus Do You See These TDs? Daniel is 2-3. Mike Staffel is 4-1. And for that reason, I'm going to take Daniel. No, I'm just kidding.
Just based off their records, I'm going with the right guys lost more.
So Tom Brady didn't score 55 points this week. He only had 21. Lucky you, Daniel. I had to deal with 55 from Tommy Boy last week. But I really like Daniel's team. Daniel had a great week last week. I know Mike had an even better week last week. But with Brady just scoring 21, he does have Antonio Brown in his flex, who scored almost 20. So, but I really like Daniel's team. Daniel had picked up Zach Ertz, and he got him almost 11 points. So, yeah, give me Daniel.
Yeah,
and a close one.
You know, I'm gonna go Daniel for one reason, and it's a very simple reason, but it just really irks me when people don't pay attention to this. Mike unnecessarily started Antonio Brown in his flex, and therefore I'm going Daniel.
Yeah, I knew what you were gonna say.
There's no reason to not explain that. There's no reason to not put Antonio Brown in your wide receiver position, because you reduce your, imagine this, flexibility when you do that. Because guess what? If something were to happen to one of your other starters, you have a flex spot you can play a running back, tight end, or receiver in. Now, he has to replace a very specific position going forward if something were to happen. Yeah. But it's okay. Hey, each their own. Sense. He's 4-1. Who am I to question him? It's just a rookie move.
Yeah.
Go on, David.
So I picked this matchup before the Thursday night game, and it all kind of came down to me to the stacks that they had at quarterback and receiver, that being Tom Brady and Antonio for Staffel, which was fine. But then the other stack of Herbert and Mike Williams. Mike Williams is the number two receiver on the year.
Man, someone should have kept him 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. And some Cordarrelle Patterson as well. 7 years ago. You remember when Jonathan drafted that guy in the second round, guys?
If I had all my current, if I had all the keepers, if I had all my old keepers on my own team right now, I'd be the number one team.
I'll never forget. It was like 6 years ago or 7 years ago. And I was hoping to get Cordarrelle in the third round. And Jonathan's like, I'm taking him in the second. That's when he was on the Vikings.
He was a glorified punt returner, but I thought he was going to be the next big one.
Yeah. And so it really came down to that matchup for me. Both teams have really hard schedules as far as just individual player matchups and what they're going against. But I like the Herbert Mike Williams combination against Baltimore, only because I feel like you're going to have, especially after last week, did y'all see Lamar in that Monday night game where I think they're having to score more. And I think Herbert's more than capable of scoring on that defense. And so I picked them, and I picked Daniel for that reason.
Who we got? Who's next? Let's go with
Bryce and Joey. I mean, Bryce and Jackson.
Yeah, let's go with Captain Kirk and crew versus Wingardium Joey Bosa. I've been preaching against Bryce. I've been hedging with Bryce all year. I've been singing his praises, but then preaching against him. I think this week I'm going to stick with what I know, and that is that Jackson this week is better than Bryce. Give me Jackson. Give me the Trevor Lawrence sunshines. Dalvin Cook, DeAndre Swift. Ugh, why did I pick Jackson? I'm taking Jackson, though. I'm taking Jackson over Bryce. I think Cousins, he's coming back down to earth after his red-hot start his past 2 weeks, 11.32 and 14.50. So I think that was a big contributor. I mean, the previous weeks to that was 34, 34, 29. So I think that's a big difference. I think that is on par with Trevor Lawrence. And I like the rest of Jackson's team compared to Bryce's. So give me Jackson.
Yeah, I think this is the week for Stephon Diggs.
Calling your shot.
Monday night, prime time. He hasn't really had that breakout.
DBs are really good though.
Yeah, he's gonna torch them. I think this is the week he puts it together. I think Jackson's going to score more than his 145 projected. And you look at, so, I mean, I think he's going to go bust. And then the question becomes, what is Bryce going to do? Is he going to do more than that? And I see a lot of New England Patriots in his lineup.
Jacoby Myers, I just saw that.
Jacoby Myers and Damian Harris, and they're going against Dallas. We just talked about how Dallas is, you know, doing a pretty good job on defense. You know, Saquon being out hurts, Calvin Ridley, Debo out this week. I just think that's too much, and I hate Kirk Cousins. I don't like Jackson quarterback and Trevor Lawrence, but compared to Kirk Cousins, I do. So they're going to, like, wash each other out, which is pretty close to their projections anyway. But for all those reasons, I pick Jackson.
I pick Bryce.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you listen to what I just said?
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm thinking about changing my mind.
Sorry, you need to listen to that again, David. Does this sound familiar?
That's doo-doo.
Oh, yeah. Was that when they looked at my score?
No, I had them record a couple weeks ago, and I forgot I even had to do some of these.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, man.
That's doo-doo is what Brooklyn says.
Yeah. Stuart.
That's doo-doo. That's so cute. So
the cutest I didn't know ever.
I didn't know he had Jacoby Myers. I hate Noah Fant. I think Robert Woods is going to have a big game. Against the Giants.
Sounded like you were talking yourself out of Bryce for a second.
You know, I almost was, but he's winning right now, so I'm going to stick with him.
That's doo-doo.
Oh. All right, let's move it along. Let's move it along. We've got one Team Batman 57.
Batman.
Team Batman 57 versus Wild Thang. Oh, man. I really think this is the week my dad finally catches a break. I do think Josh Allen is problematic going against the Titans, as you've already talked about, David. So that's the big sticking point. Can Aaron Rodgers keep up? Can he keep up with Josh Allen? He's at Chicago. That's a tougher matchup. Melvin Gordon, Stewart, you were right about him thus far being in the top 20, right? Isn't he like 18 or whatever?
22.
Right? Oh, he's 22 at running back.
So Stewart was wrong.
No, he's Stewart 22, said 24. But yeah, he is 22.
You said 20.
Yeah. No, 24.
Okay. Stewart's going to be wrong.
No. Good. Not a chance.
I'm glad we're getting some reasonable opinions on this show again.
Yeah, because the last week was the most ridiculous podcast I've ever heard in my life. David, did you listen to that trash?
Yeah, I had to turn it off.
Yeah, me too. It was ridiculous. I'm glad we're back to some normalcy around here.
It's y'all's fault. I'm here it's every
us
week.
Us three commissioners, you know?
Yep. Don't worry, I've got an opening for that too. Yeah, give me my dad to pull off the upset, big upset, Batman over Wild Thing.
Yep, as of this moment, it is 4.1 to 3.7. Real barn burner we got going here. Mike Evans scoring the 3.7 and Devontae Smith doing the 4.1.
And they both put him in their flex.
Yeah, they both deserve to lose now.
That according to John. Okay. Mike, take note. You are on the same level as Lewis and my dad at decision making. Just remember that. Who you got, David?
I think Lewis has a lot tougher matchups across the board with all his players, whether it's Chubb or Hopkins and even Chase, but I don't think any of that matters because Josh Allen is going against Tennessee. And Josh Allen is going to score a lot of points, and he's going to carry the Wild Thing to 5-1.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say Josh Allen, I think, has the potential to score more points than he scored last week.
Whoa.
Which was 49.5.
Yeah, I was going to say score than my more than my team last week, but I figured that was a little much.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking 50s, not 60s.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, you were kind of talking, saying the same, this about Stephon Diggs. I feel like DeAndre Hopkins hasn't really had that breakout performance yet as well. And I think he's going to have a big game. A big, big game.
He hasn't
Kyler throwing him the bombs.
He hasn't had one game with double-digit targets yet.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy to think about where he's been in that regard the past couple of years. Yeah.
Even going back to Houston, it's the opposite of what he's ever done.
Right.
Cool. So you taking,
give me Wild Thing by a landslide.
And I saw my reflection in the snow covered hills where the landslide
Landslide's bringing you down, Team Batman. Hey, he has a team. He's Team Batman.
57. Yeah, he's Team Batman 57. You have to try and run it all together.
What's the most fun name to say this year?
I like Do You See These TDs.
I know. I knew you were going to say it. I only asked because I wanted you to say it again.
CD has only had one worthy TD performance, and that was
have one TD.
Yeah, he scored in week one.
Yeah, week one, I guess. Okay, I forgot about that. Okay, why are we talking about Mike's team? Who cares?
Oh, last matchup, the big one, the Naj Mahal versus 99 Problems. Those are two good team names too. Although Joey's changed his team name probably six times.
I do like Naj Mahal. That's a great team name.
Do y'all remember when we had a proposed rule change from one of the dads that you couldn't change your team name more than once because they couldn't keep up with who was who?
Yeah.
These guys would be repeat offenders of that rule.
Yes.
Had it.
Glad that Sleeper tells you who the person is, except Jay Searles could be like a million people. So,
well, it's just me or Joey. Do you think my sister is playing?
Could D Cupid.
Yeah, that one.
Yes.
That seriously. One's even more confusing because even if it said David Cupid, that doesn't matter.
Well, D Cupid could be Daniel, too.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh. Good call. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, fun fact, Katie's name starts with a silent D as well.
DK. All right. Oh. Well, guys, I really wanted to do this as my triple play, but I thought that was just too easy. It wasn't fair. You know, I went with a much more obvious one in myself. All that to say, I don't think there's really much to analyze here. Ryan's team is really good, and if McCaffrey's back, it's not even close. I think it could be a tsunami.
Oh,
in the favor of Ryan.
Oh, I keep forgetting when I switch this. It cuts it off. That's okay.
Do you remember the long tsunami drop you had?
Yeah, yes, people complained about it.
Bring that back from my matchup from last week.
Three times as long.
If we think someone is going to beat someone else by 150 points, you play the really long tsunami.
You know what I can do? I can just have it at a low level background noise, and we'll just talk over it while it plays the entire song. And we'll just talk the entire matchup about how you're about to get just doused.
A fun fact, there has been a tsunami every single week.
Really? How
many tsunamis were there last week?
There was a triple tsunami.
I got tsunamied.
Jonathan got tsunamied. I got triple tsunamied. And Stuart got tsunamied.
That's got to be a record.
Yeah, we all got tsunamied on this call here.
Yeah, we should have just had this as the intro.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you're right. There's not much to analyze here. Ryan's going to smash the over, and he's going to smash Joey, and I'm going to smash this.
Triple play.
Wow. McCaffrey is going against Carson in the flex. How fitting. How fitting.
It's okay. McCaffrey's not projected for much. 22.
Which running back is better? You make the call. They're both questionable. I think Carson probably has a better chance of playing than McCaffrey. But I don't know either. The Naj Mahal is worthy of all of our respect. He is by far the best team in the league. Joey, with his 99 problems, is by far the worst team in the league. So give me the Naj Mahal as my triple play.
Triple play.
We made it.
Guys, it's good to be back.
It's good to hear familiar team. Voices.
It's good to restore order to this league.
Thank you. It's
the dream team. It was
a wild ride with Mike and Ryan, but glad to hear some familiar voices. I'm sure everyone else will appreciate a sense of normalcy. And in keeping with that, Stuart, do you want to close us out with one of your famous phrases?
Well, I'm glad to have Darren Waller as a part of my team because, like, you know my team name. Remember those tight ends. See y'all next week. Bye-bye.